We just heard music of Giuseppe Verdi from the Requiem. We heard the Dies Irae and the Tuba Mirum from the second section of the Requiem. The overarching name is the Dies Irae. And we heard Valery Gergiev conducting the Kirov Orchestra and Chorus. And this recording has a number of soloists: Renee Fleming, Olga Borodina, Andrea Bocelli, and Ildebrando D'Arcangelo. And this weekend, we get to hear Verdi's Requiem right here in Las Cruces. My guest today is Lonnie Klein, conductor of the Las Cruces Symphony Orchestra. It's the final concert of the season. And Lonnie, it's been about 15 years since you conducted this before.
Right. Just got my notes. It was September of 2003.
Okay,
we were 15 years ago.
We were both pretty new.
We were babies then.
We were babies then. So you'll be performing with the Las Cruces Symphony and the Masterworks Chorus, which is currently under the direction of Ron Gillis, an interim choral director. And let's just talk about the Requiem first. Verdi, known almost exclusively as an opera composer, and I think I read that Hans von Bülow, who was a very famous conductor of the time, saw the score and said it was just an opera in ecclesiastical robes and didn't go to the premiere as a result. And then years later heard a church parish production, brought him to tears, and he sent Verdi an apology.
Yes, that's exactly right. As you said, Verdi was known as an opera composer, and this was actually originally called Manzoni Requiem after his dear friend, poet, literarist Alessandro Manzoni passed away. Very famous Italian poet, became good friends with Verdi, and when he passed away, Verdi wanted to, dedicate and write something in his honor. And as you said, it really is an opera, but it's so beautiful, and it doesn't follow the typical Kyrie, Credo, Sanctu, Agnus Dei, Gloria, typical portions of a mass. It has the offertory, it has different sections, which of course Mozart did as well in his Requiem. But it's a huge orchestra, winds and pairs, four bassoons, eight trumpets, which is fabulous when you hear the Tuba Mirum, which we just heard. You have four trumpets on stage, four trumpets off stage.
Oh, wow.
And it just raises the hair on the back of your neck. It's so beautiful. But again, it also calls for, of course, the four singers, soprano, mezzo, tenor, and bass, whom I should mention. We have,
of course,
Beatrice Villegar. She's from Switzerland. I met her last year when I was conducting an opera ballet program at Spitzer Theater. She's coming in, as actually already in, from Switzerland. And we have the famous tenor the mezzo that sung with James Levine, Lucille Beer, who did it with me in 2003.
I remember. Wonderful.
Beautiful mezzo-soprano. And then the tenor is Daniel Weeks. He's artist in residence at the Cincinnati Conservatory. And I'm bringing back Mark Womack again because he, most of you know, sang in Carousel, Annie Get Your Gun, but he's really a great bass baritone and operatic singer. So I have these four fabulous, soloists. Plus, we have the Masterworks Chorale, which has been working on this project for literally since January.
Yeah.
And the forces of the full orchestra as well.
Yeah, it's a magnificent work, and it's now one of the most popular masterworks for choirs all over the world. Mm-hmm. I think I read that it's one of the most performed masterworks for chorus. So I just want to go back to Manzoni, because Verdi did write it as a requiem for his friend, this writer Manzoni, and I read that actually Verdi read a novel by Manzoni when he was 16 and just fell in love with this writer. And but he originally wrote the Liberame for Rossini. He wanted it to be a requiem for Rossini, and that a whole slew of composers would each write a section. But shortly before the premiere, it didn't fly. It collapsed. Mm-hmm. And then when Manzoni died, he went back to that little piece that he'd written and thought, okay, I'm turning this into a requiem of my own.
That's right. You're exactly right. When Rossini passed away, he was trying to collaborate with other composers to write a mass in honor of Rossini, and he wrote Liberame. And, of course, nobody No, it, as you said, it collapsed, it fell through. So he kept that one movement of the mass. And then when, of course, Manzoni passed away, and he really revered Manzoni.
Yeah, yeah, he loved him. He said that Rossini was one of the glories of Italy, and Manzoni was still alive. And he said, when the other one goes, and he met Manzoni, what will we have left? And so he considered them the two jewels of Italian culture at the time. Wow. So what is it like? You're up there with this massive orchestra, a massive choir mm-hmm. as well. The stage is just filled with people and the four soloists. Mm-hmm. You've got to keep track of all the different pieces, parts that are going, which is what your job is as the conductor. But just describe what that's like to have so many different forces. And I know you've also gone and worked with the choir this week mm-hmm. or last week to work on the parts mm-hmm. for them, too. Of course, Ron Gillis has been preparing them, mm-hmm. but you'll be the conductor.
Yeah, I told the choir the other night, I've done three Tuesdays in a row, the last three weeks on Tuesday evening. And particularly the Sanctus, it's a double choir, and it's a fugue. So you can think, you've got 88 members in the chorus, and you have to split that, so double sopranos, double tenors, basses, altos, and then of course you have the orchestra, and then you have the soloist. And I just told the choir, I said, you know, I'm not an octopus. I don't have eight arms. I've only got two. So you really have to count, and you have to watch me, because I still have to bring in the orchestra. But you're right, it's enormous. It's so much fun. It's one of the pieces for a conductor. There's Beethoven 9, there's the Berlioz Requiem. Beethoven 9 is fabulous because, you know, it's such a great symphony. But the interesting thing about Beethoven 9th, and lots of orchestras do it, it's five movements, but you only hear the choir and the singers on the last movement.
Right.
In this particular piece, it's every movement features the choir or the soloist or the orchestra. And the music is absolutely gorgeous. And so, for me, it's really what the pinnacle. There's lots of things that one can do in a career, but to conduct the Verdi Requiem is very special because of the way the music is written and how it's written, and of course the orchestra and the chorus and the singers, and then of course the offstage brass. I mean, it really is a tour de force.
How many brass are offstage besides those trumpets that you mentioned?
Just the four trumpets. Yeah, we have four trumpets on. That's the tuba mirum. That's basically, you know, God calling.
Right.
Calling
I was just going to say the heavenly voices. Yes,
right.
Absolutely.
And you know, it's and I also read about this quite a bit. And Verdi didn't want it to be a mass for the dead, but it's actually a celebration of the living, and that's sort of how you have to think about it. So you don't think you're coming to some dire, you know, solemn orchestra concert. It's full of fire and fury.
Well, certainly.
Particularly the Dies Irae.
That's what it is, the wrath of God.
And so, the tuba mirum.
Yes, absolutely. We heard probably the most dramatic part. Well, let's go back to the idea of this being an opera in ecclesiastical robes. It's not actually performed that often in a church service. It's much more of a concert piece. But Verdi was an opera composer, mm-hmm. and so there's drama, there's incredible rhythms, there's gorgeous melodies, because of course you have to have those beautiful mm-hmm. arias. That's what he was such a master of. But any requiem is going to have some drama. That's mm-hmm. what we go through, that whole cycle of the sort of statement of it being a requiem, the Dies Irae, the Sanctus, the Agnus Dei, as you mentioned earlier, these sort of more peaceful passages. What makes this one more operatic?
I think, for one, you've really got to have fantastic soloists. I mean, the tenor is singing a high B-flat. The soprano is singing a high C. Mm. You know, the baritone is, or bass, is very, very low. And just the way he wrote this, when you consider Mozart's Requiem and listen to Mozart's Requiem, which is, you know, 18th century, and you compare it to the Verdi Requiem, two totally different pieces. The only comparison I could make to those two composers would be the Lacrimosa. Uh-huh. They're both just, they're gorgeous.
Yeah.
But we have the stretching of the phrase that you have in opera. We didn't have that at Mozart. When I say that, we have a climax of the tenor going to a high B flat and really stretching that phrase into the downbeat, to the tonic of the next measure. Of course, the extreme voice ranges. You have tempo changes that you don't typically have in Mozart. And you have these gorgeous melodies. And it really is tone painting. So what he's doing is taking the text first and then making the music fix the text, kind of like Schubert did in Lied. So the text drives the music. So when you hear the Dies Irae, the wrath of God, he's taken that text, the wrath of God, but he's translated into an orchestra that will scare you. I mean, the bass drum is very prominent on beats 2 and 4 throughout the whole movement, which you never would hear. I mean, Mozart didn't even use bass drum.
Mm-hmm.
And he whacks the fire out. He even says the notes say, tighten the drum head as tight as you can make it.
Oh, wow.
And then smack it with a very hard mallet, not a felt mallet, and smack it close to the rim. So you get this sharp, metallic, really heavy sound, almost like Tchaikovsky's 1812 Overture, when the bombs, you know, start, or the explosions start coming off. So it's those little things, and he's very particular. And then Moore's, when the bass baritone is singing, he says just the opposite. He tells you to take the drum head, the bass drum, and loosen it so that it's almost palatable and soft. And use a soft mallet. So you hear this, Moore's, death, boom. Moore's, boom. Very light.
Mm.
And then there's a pizzicato in the bass that matches that.
Chilling.
So it's the orchestration is so wonderful. And four bassoons. Never done. And it's interesting. It's three flutes, piccolo, two oboes, two clarinets, but four bassoons.
Yeah.
Very interesting the way he wrote that. And of course, the offstage trumpets and the typical low brass.
Uh huh. Yeah.
But not a big percussion section. Only timpani and bass drum. No cymbals, no triangle, no snare drum.
So between that Dies Irae and the softer section, the percussionist has to loosen the bass drum.
Yes. They have the tool and they have to literally go around the whole instrument, both sides,
wow,
and loosen everything.
Yeah, because you're not going
to, which drives them crazy because they have to retune it again.
Oh.
You know, because we have the Dies Irae coming back in second part of the Requiem and has to be retuned again.
So it can't be, you can't have two up there. Just two drums.
Not really.
Never see that. So.
We had two bass drums. One's a marching band, one's a concert drum. So we have to use the concert bass drum, which is the best sound.
So interesting. Well, they've got an intermission to not relax, but tune back the bass drum.
Mm-hmm.
The concerts are this weekend. It's Verdi's Requiem, and it's wrapping up the season for the Las Cruces Symphony Orchestra. It's been a great season, Lonnie. And
yes, I think it has. I'm so excited. You know, we had Misha Dichter. We've had Sarah San Ambrosio.
Mm-hmm.
We've had so many wonderful guest artists.
The
Brass Transit Women to Pops concert in January.
Kirsten Chavez did that wonderful Carmen show. Yeah, it's been a wonderful season. So tonight's just the dress rehearsal, but it's no longer an open rehearsal.
No, that's not correct. Actually, we do have an open rehearsal for this particular concert because of the overrun of tickets.
Yeah. Oh, excellent. Okay. And Saturday night, tomorrow night, 7:30, and Sunday at 3 at the Atkinson Recital Hall. The season's finale, Verdi's Requiem with the Masterworks Chorus. Ron Gillis has been preparing them. And say your soloist names once again.
Yes, soprano is Beatrice Villegar. She hails from Switzerland. She flew in on Monday. The tenor is going to be Daniel Weeks. Daniel is an artist in residence at the Cincinnati Conservatory. The mezzo is Lucille Beer, who sang this particular work with me 15 years ago, and actually sang it with James Levine at the Metropolitan Opera. And then the bass baritone is going to be Mark Womack, hailing also from New York City.
Congratulations on a great season, and thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Leora. My pleasure.